This is Fresh Air. Whoops, that's what computer experts are saying about a glitch that's going to wreak havoc. On January 1st in the year 2000, the problem goes back to a design decision that was made in the early days of computer development to use a two-digit shorthand for the date. For instance, the year 1970 is read in shorthand by computer software simply as 70. While that made sense 30 years ago, when the year 2000 rolls around, many computer systems will only be able to show it as 00. This could have far-reaching consequences. Possible doomsday scenarios include a global financial crisis, satellites falling from the sky, industrial assembly lines halted, and hospital life support systems crashing. My guest, Bill Ulrich, is co-author of The Year 2000 Software Crisis. He's also working with businesses and government agencies who are scrambling to get their computer systems ready for the millennium. I asked Ulrich how we got into this mess.
Well, there were a couple of different reasons, but if we go back and look at the history of computers, the ENIAC computer, for example, built in 1944, was the size of an 18-wheeler semi-truck and less powerful than any computational chip built today. In the 1950s and 1960s, when we were first getting into computer software writing, particularly the 1960s and early 70s, there was a tremendous limitation on the amount of memory and space that we had to store information. And that limitation of memory forced us into using abbreviations for a lot of different types of things. One of the abbreviations we selected was to use a two-digit versus a four-digit year field when we represented a date. So the computer would see the number 68 and assume that it was 1968. The cost of the memory at the point in time that they were building these systems was fairly significant, and it was about $175 per month per megabyte, not to get too technical.
Right.
But the cost of that same amount of memory today is about a penny a month. So you can see how the differentiation broke down.
Well, do you think some of those early programmers believe that over time and as technology evolved that the two-digit would become the four-digit and we wouldn't be faced with the problem that we're faced with today?
They really did. And in fact, not just the people in the 60s or even the 70s, but the people writing programs in the 1980s clearly believed that there was no way that those programs would be around at the end of the century. Everyone, even into the early 1990s, most corporations believed that their systems would be replaced, and most government agencies as well believed that their systems would be rewritten and replaced on new machines called client-server systems. The software would be written from scratch, and it would be using the newly expanded four-digit year field as opposed to the old two-digit year field.
So why didn't that happen?
We have systems out there that have been running for a number of years that perform all of these different, primarily business functions, but many other functions in our lives. The people who wrote those systems are no longer essentially with the company. The people who told the programmers that wrote the systems what to code, in other words, what problem that the computer system that they were writing should fix, are also no longer with the company. So the people who use the computer systems today in most corporations and government environments and the people who work on or maintain the computer systems don't understand what functionality is inside of those systems. They don't have an understanding of what those systems truly do or how they do it. Okay, so you're processing all this information, but it's not clear exactly what's going on inside these computer systems. And without a concerted effort to really go in there, and there's some ways to do this and to document what those systems are doing and how they're doing it, and it takes some effort to do that, you don't really have a good understanding of what those systems do. So you can't write a new system to do the same thing because you don't know where to go for the information. So time after time after time, the replacement systems either fall far short and do not replace the old system, or the project is canceled in its entirety. In fact, there's a statistic in the information technology market that projects are either late, not delivered at all, or fall far short of their goal 96% of the time. Now, that stems from the fact that executives, and I'll not just point at the technology executives, but senior executives in companies are going for a very quick fix, replace with new technology approach to this, which is not working And this goes on and on every day in our corporations out there.
So you're saying it's really a different generation of computers, a different generation of systems designers, on top of that, a kind of short-term thinking, which is it will fix the problem short-term and we won't think long-term. And that's how we got ourselves into this mess.
Exactly.
If nothing is done or the problem cannot be fixed, cannot be solved, what then will happen to computers on January 1st in the year 2000?
Well, first of all, let me say that this problem does not just magically appear on January 1, 2000. It actually, in many systems, it's actually occurring already. And a simple test for the people that are out there that carry credit cards in their wallet is to take their credit cards out, and if they've gotten a new credit card issued to them within the course of the last several months, since the beginning of this calendar year, you can look and see what the renewal date is. Hmm. And if the renewal date is 1999 or 99 on your credit card, when historically you've always gotten a three-year renewal date, mm-hmm. And I'm carrying one of these credit cards in my pocket right now, that means that the system that tracks your credit reporting and credit card processing doesn't have the ability to look at dates past 1999, and they actually had to go in and rig the system to only issue two-year versus three-year credit cards. So the problem is happening now. Other people I've spoken to have gotten credit cards with a 00 in the expiration date, and they've gotten them rejected by various merchants. So the problem is here. It tends to become more apparent as we get closer and closer to 2000. But the key thing that happens on January 1, 2000 is that that's when the computers are actually beginning to process dates that have a 00 in the year field. And that's the unpredictable point. But there's a number of industries and areas that are impacted. For example, satellite systems. It's likely that some satellite systems may actually have to be shut down. The question of how do we fix software and hardware that we can't get to, such as satellite systems or switching equipment that's buried, 5 to 10 feet underground around the country. How do we fix those types of systems? So there may be some potential communication problems that could occur. Air traffic control potential problems, global positioning systems within satellites or another potential area that could have a problem.
Let me just jump in here because I want to make sure that the audience understands what's happening, because I think those people in the industry are up to date on this. But for those people that are casual users of computers, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure they understand what it is. So if we're talking about the year 2000, for many computers then, when that happens on January 1st in the year 2000, many computers are going to think it's actually the year 1900. Is that right?
That's exactly correct.
So computers, in a sense, will go back in time.
They will go back in time, and they will think that they have gone 100 years back in time.
Right.
Which, and various things, again, can occur depending on how the systems were written. If they think that they went back in time, for example, with an insurance system, mm-hmm. Or with a fairly simple credit card system or your cash card that you carry in your pocket, what will basically happen is that they will think that your credit cards, your cash cards, your insurance policies, your driver's license, that everything is expired and that it's totally invalid and that you'll be rejected when you try and buy something at a store. Those are basic problems that the industry has foreseen for at least a couple of years now.
Bill Ulrich is the co-author of The Year 2000 Software Crisis. We'll talk more about this so-called millennium bug in just 1 minute. This is Fresh Air. Our guest is Bill Ulrich, and we're talking about the millennium bug and the fact that many computers are not prepared for the year 2000. Give us a feel for the magnitude of this potential problem worldwide.
Well, just let me give you some statistics, and we can try and work from there. The software industry estimates that there are 200 billion lines of software around the world.
What does that mean? Lines of software.
When a programmer sits down to write a program, they write it like a letter. So if you can think that you're sitting down and you're writing a letter on your word processor, and you've got an 8.5 by 11 screen to work with or worksheet to work with. One line of code, takes a programmer a few seconds to write. A given program that say processes your credit transactions or whatever, is roughly 1,000 to 1,500 lines of software. So it's like you're writing a letter, but you're not writing it in English. You're writing it in a computer language, of which, by the way, there's thousands of.
Right.
And you're writing in a language, and some of the language names, just for people out there to understand, one, the most popular one is called COBOL, and there's other languages such as Fortran and numerous other types of languages. So a line of code is something that a programmer sits down and writes. And a given program that processes, again, a credit card transaction or whatever, might be about 1,500 lines of code. The industry itself has created about 200 billion lines of code. Now, that's a hard number to get your hands around. The estimates are that to fix this problem, it's going to cost people roughly $1 per line of code. So if you run those numbers out just quickly, you're looking at a $400 billion problem. And there have been some estimates that that's what it costs to fix the problem. But since not most people are going to get most things fixed, but not everything, there will be some other ramifications. For example, assembly lines breaking down, people sitting idle at a plant for 2 weeks, and that the overall cost to the worldwide economy is going to be something closer to $600 to $800 billion or closer to $1 trillion.
If someone owns their own personal computer, they don't know all the ins and outs of it. They don't know all the ways that it's set up. What do you suggest that they do as they prepare themselves for the year 2000? What do you want them to do with their computer?
Well, the first thing they should do is to see how old the system is. I mean, it's very clear that some of these systems just will not support the year 2000. For example, if you're running an old version of DOS on a 286 chip, it's very, very unlikely that that system is going to function properly. So you probably don't even need to bother testing it. But if you have a 486 or a Pentium chip or one of the new Macintoshes, my suggestion, again, is to back everything up on your system, as you should normally anyway, and then to go in and reset the date to just before midnight, December 31st, 1999, and watch the date roll over and make sure that it still looks okay. It should say January 1, 2000. And then you should restart your computer and make sure the date is still consistent. And then you should go in and start taking a look at some of your applications to make sure that they're all functioning properly. The biggest problem people have with PCs hardware is the basic input-output system. Mm-hmm. It's called a BIOS. And a lot of the BIOSes are, even today, they're still selling BIOSes that are not ready for the year 2000 and can't store the future dates. So what you can do is you can contact your computer manufacturer, and they should be able to either fix or give you some information on how to get your BIOS fixed. There's patches that have been created that can correct that. So you don't have to throw out your computer system. You can just get the BIOS fixed.
What should consumers be aware of if they're thinking about some of the products that they buy, the television sets, the VCRs, things like that?
Well, when you make your final decision on which VCR or television set that you're going to buy, if the product that you're buying contains a date field, you should try and enter 2000 into that date field. I had a colleague go into a store and reprogram every single VCR inside of a store that was selling VCRs and television sets. A number of VCRs that cost less than $279 in a given store did not support the year 2000, so that after 2000 arrived, they would not be able to program their VCRs to do a taping, say, an advanced taping or a future taping, so that they just wouldn't function. There's a number of other products out there that contain dates, and before you actually buy the product, you should check it out. And don't buy the product if it doesn't work in the year 2000.
Bill Ulrich is co-author of The Year 2000 Software Crisis. He also consults with business and government agencies getting their systems ready for the millennium.